Welcome, everyone, to the blessings of Christ on this 11th day of June. We are happy in the depths of our hearts to be here. We join in happiness, for happiness itself is a miracle. It's not something that we receive entirely from circumstance. It's about how we choose to live within the circumstances and to be able to make that choice unconditionally, not only because it benefits us, but because it benefits others so well that we come to enjoy this day together and to bring those greater depths of happiness to our hearts. It has been my practice for years, speaking to, let's say, an assistant associate of some company or whatever, on the phone, and I would end my call with "be blessed." And it was a rarity to use that or hear it 13 years ago. Now, you hear it everywhere. You go to McDonald's and you check out. Of course, God help us if we go to McDonald's too often. But anyway, we check out and say, "be blessed." It's everywhere. And I think that's fabulous. But I was called to think deeper on the subject. And now I say to people, as I conclude a call or just conclude a checkout at the grocery store or whatever, I just say, "stay happy. It helps everyone." And you should see their face. It's like they really believe it. They really actually believe it. Whereas when I would say, "be blessed," they would look at me like, "oh, well, I hope." that look on their face. And I say, "stay happy." A smile breaks out over their face. And I said, "you know what? Everybody benefits from your happiness." So that's my current favorite thing to say in closing to people these days. And I think it's actually working little minor miracles and spreading a concept that we need to be holding on to in this world, because there's a lot of thrust and force going on of one sort or another, and I won't itemize them because I don't want to call them by name or bring them into our blessing call, but you know, you encounter them. That would suggest we should be very unhappy about the world in which we live. Well, my friends, we make the world in which we live better by being happy. And so let's choose happiness today and choose the miracles that will come from it. And that is my welcome message. And I hope that wherever she is today, Nancy is being very happy, and I'm sure she is. She had a kind of executive conference in Houston today, an opportunity for her to take her staff to training and time out and happiness. So let's hope they're getting that. And for today, it's just you and me, folks. Well, not just us. We've got Yeshua. He's the master on the reins. But I'll be managing the board today. And thank you for signing on, because I rely on all of you to bring to me what is the hottest thing on your heart for us to contemplate, pray about, and bless. So we're going to open our board with, Stormy, you are the first one on our board today. So congratulations and welcome. Stormy, let's see. Did I do it right? Not sure. Okay, I'll get it right. Just hang on with me, everybody. Now we're in the right mode. So. Hmm. Well, okay, I'll just,
Oh, there I am.
There you are. Okay.
I've been working with the great word, grace, for this blessing call since Wednesday. Oh, it was a movie I saw about a runner, and it made me remind myself about how at 12 o'clock on a hot summer day, I would go out and run on blacktop, a 5-mile run, and I was happy to do this every day. And when I got in, after the first mile, I fell into a state of grace. And I would run my 5 miles in 30 minutes like I did all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I fell into that. I was happy to do this, something that gave me joy to be able to run like the wind that I could. And, mm-hmm. and then fall into a state of grace. And it just was not an arduous, even though the last 100 yards was a sprint uphill, a large hill, and I was out of breath. Nevertheless, I was still happy
I
could and would do that. So I wanted to include the word happy. But all this week, I've called a couple of people to help build up the energy of grace specifically for this blessing call today.
Awesome. That is so good. And actually, Stormy, you have brought up the two topics I was hoping we would focus on today. So thank you. And you can always come back on the call if you want to comment on what I'm saying later. But why don't we move on so that I can further develop that subject. Okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. And we've got some other callers. Let's just see what's on your mind, what's on your heart, and that you need. Nancy, you're on.
Hello. How are you guys doing? I love being gratitude to the people that are around me. I want to send blessings today to my little knitting group. We had knitting in public yesterday. We were knitting in public.
My goodness.
And I just want to be grateful. I want to say my gratitude for all those women and to my sister and brother-in-law who are going to be renewing their vows next week. And just thankful for all the people that just make my day better. And, are so kind and so wonderful to be around. And thank you, Glenda, for all your decades of just being there.
It's my pleasure.
I remember getting your first, the first publication of your book around, about the turn of the century, and mm-hmm. you have been there, and I have, brought your teachings and your passing on things, to friends that mm-hmm. needed a little extra boost, uh-huh. and I just want to be thankful, for bringing all the happiness that you bring to my life, and thank you.
Oh, that's a joy to my heart, Nancy. And actually, I hope everyone could hear how happy you are. It shows up in your voice, and I can see you're happy. You're a happy lady today, okay?
I am.
Keep it up. Keep it up because you're changing the energy around you. You really are. This is what kids do for us. That's not to say they're always happy, and my goodness, they can throw a tantrum when they want to. But for the most part, they're happy, and they're happy to provide a tantrum if we really want to hear one. So that's why they get over it so fast. They were just happy to do it.
Just setting boundaries, that's all.
That's right. That's right, my dear. And so let's just move on.
Good health to all all y'all, I know that whenever somebody is in pain or going through a little health problem, you know, that it, you know, just a little blessings to those people that, you know, continued good health. And,
yes,
you know, if you're not in good health, you're getting there. So there you go.
Yes. Yes. And many, many people have found the value and the virtue of cultivating happiness while they're recovering from pain. There have been people that actually heal their body from fourth stage cancer by watching comedies every day. Every day, all day. They would not leave the groundwork of happiness. There's something about that that creates a template for your body and your mind and your heart and the environment to coordinate on. It, you know, when everything around you is agreeable to be happy, your body is agreeable to be happy, your heart, your mind, and yourself are all agreeable to be happy, things can't go bad. They can't.
That's true.
It's just the way it is. And so keep it up.
And
keep it up.
And with a good joke or something like that can switch around your day, you know, and you know, make you laugh.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you know, the great thing about it is in a world with all kinds of conflicted opinions and beliefs and conflict on every conceivable level, the one thing I think we can all agree on, wouldn't it be great to just be happy? I really caught on to that.
Or finding somebody to be happy with. One of my friends sent me a thing, goes, I don't want you to go through bad things alone or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't do crazy, friends don't do,
yeah,
let,
exactly.
Let do crazy things alone.
Exactly. And we don't need a doctrine to say that. We don't have to disagree about whose doctrine is correct and who's got the right vantage point of God, you know. God wants us all to be happy. That's one thing we can agree on. So that's the great message of the, well, it's one of two great messages today. One of three. No, that's one. Okay, two more to go. All right, so hang on, everybody. I am sure somebody's going to bring me the welcome tag to get on to the next one. You guys always do. You guys are just brilliant. You really are.
We're in the flow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you are, my dear. All right. Well, let's see. How about we open the line? I think we're going to go next to, I'll just do next question. All right. And take whoever comes up. That would be Aria.
Hello.
Hi, Aria.
Hi. Hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. Yes, I am finding that the more grateful that I am, the more happier I can be.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, so
yeah.
The gratitude.
Well, yeah. Nobody's happy on their pity pot.
Right. Right.
Really?
I'm grateful. I'm grateful that for this community. I'm grateful for Yeshua and all my guides and angels that are constantly around and bring me closer to God.
Wow. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in, and thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a special blessing you would like to ask for?
Yes, and I'm grateful I can still walk. I have that hip thing still, you know, and I'm going to the orthopedic tomorrow morning for the first time, so blessings for that, please.
Okay.
And then my daughter is coming later tomorrow to visit me because Thursday's my birthday. So, blessings.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, we don't see each other often. So it'll be nice to see her, and
uh-huh.
I hope we have a good time. So that's why I called. And all the bad things that, you know, may be going on, when we don't put our focus on that, and we put our things on all the blessings from Christ and the blessings from this community, the blessings from God on high, I feel like it makes a big difference.
It does. It does. It even makes a big difference on the best outcome of conflicted situations. It makes a huge difference. You know, people say, well, I can't do anything about this. I'm just going to go over in my corner and be miserable. Oh, my Lord, that is the worst thing you can do about it. And I tell them about happiness. I say, well, wouldn't I be a fool to be happy when the world is falling apart? And I said, no. You make your part of the world happy, and it becomes a pattern that others can build on.
Absolutely. It affects the whole field.
Well, yeah. You know, it used to be people would say, influence with your votes. Well, we know that doesn't completely work. So then they started saying, all right, vote with your money. And now we're saying, well, sometimes that works, but, you know, we can't do without food or gasoline or whatever, you know. So that's not working too well. Vote with your happiness, my friends. Mm-hmm. That always works. And it's always contagious. And nobody wants to stop it.
Right.
Because, frankly, and I know this sounds, this may sound a little offbeat at first, but you're less trouble when you're happy.
Right. Oh, for sure.
And people want more trouble-free friends. And the happier you are, the less trouble you are. Everybody wants you happy. I mean, really. Really. I mean, this. I could build a whole seminar on how to celebrate happiness, how to turn your world around into happiness, and how to obtain everything you want through happiness. Maybe I should offer that seminar.
Yeah. That sounds like a wonderful idea, Glenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys help me think of a title for it. We'll take it up next week, okay?
Yes.
Yep. All right. So we will pray and bless your hip.
Right.
And
Melissa, my daughter.
And Melissa.
Yeah. Thank you.
And your birthday.
Glenda. Thank you, Glenda. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the best part of birthdays is getting to hear from people who love us.
Exactly.
And, yeah, being with people who love us. And then doing a few things on our special day that we love, you know?
Right.
And
right.
When we do those things, we don't care about the years passing by because, you know, what's another year?
Right.
Some people live a full life to the age of 30, and other people live a miserable life to the age of 80. It's how you live your years that counts, not the number of them. So I recommend for everybody on your birthday, establish a quality that you want to live all the days of your year coming up to or better, okay?
Okay.
Put that quality in your year.
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, and then it makes you look forward to having another one. Instead of dreading having another one, you look forward to it.
I always celebrate my birth. Like, even if, you know, whatever's going on, I always, like, wow, I'm alive. This soul is in this body, and I'm alive. And so I give gratitude for that. So, you know, it's a big deal. Thank you.
Yeah. That's great. All right, Aria. Love you, and we're going to be remembering you. Okay.
Thank you so much. All right. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. All right. We've got Caroline. Hello.
Hey, yes. And gratitude and empathy, I think, are two really important things to make your life better and to create happiness. So I love the subject that you've been talking about today. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I would like to say my gratitude to all the small farmers around the world, especially the organic and humane farmers who are facing quite a lot of challenges these days. I would like to express my gratitude to the work they do and the food they produce and how that important that is to our well-being.
Oh, amen. Amen. And I could include my family back for centuries in that blessing. I come from a family of farmers. And people tell me that I obviously inherited a green thumb because everything I plant takes over my house like a rainforest. And I said, well, yeah, it goes back centuries. But you're right. We have a lot of challenge with our food supply and a lot of challenge honoring those who produce it with correct application of horticulture and respect for the soil conditions, respect for the lives that will consume the food. And we have to remember that the bounty of the earth is the energy of our life and the grace of our life and our medicine. We can literally heal ourselves with food if the food is abundant with the nutrients God put in it. So we bless them, we honor, and we support them with our prayers.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Glenda. And, yeah, humor, as you said, is super important. That's a big part of the writing that I do myself as a comedy self-help author. And, and then gratitude. And I think the final part of that is also empathy for everybody, even if they don't have the same views as you do, having empathy for everyone and not having a divided world.
Well, I will elaborate on that with just a little bit, although it was not my message for today. The fact is very few people are capable of empathy, Caroline. It's true. But we can start with respect. We can start with honoring each other with a right to have the views that support our life. And then if we do that, we can start learning about those views, learning about their life, and that's what creates empathy. So we still got a ways to go where empathy is, I would say, a legitimate attainment. And it's one of the emotions that is very faked today, very faked. It is not sympathy. It is actually being able to walk in the other person's shoes. And you can't do it if you haven't walked in their terrain, if you haven't encountered their problems, if you haven't celebrated their joys. You can't walk in their shoes. But if we start with respect and we stop all of this defamation of character and judgment, we'll get there. We will grow into empathy. And it's one of the most important goals for us to have. I will agree with you on that totally.
Well, thank you, Glenda.
Blessings
to everyone in the community.
Yes. All right, Carolyn. We love you and look forward to having you on every Sunday. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye and love you all.
All right. Let's see who we have. Nancy, come in and guide me on this. We have Christopher. Hello, Christopher. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi. Happy Sunday. Hello to everyone. So I just wanted to echo what you were saying in the beginning and what Stormy was saying about grace, that for me, I went through so much pain in my life that to get to the place of happiness, I had to go through a lot of mourning. Yeshua talks about it in Love Without End, the difference between grief and carrying all that grief and then the active process of releasing it. And I just, I went through so much of that. And then through that and through the repentance, he talks about repentance, the turning around toward the source and reuniting with the source. It's like there was space for this grace to come. And when the grace the more that the grace has been there, that's what's given me the real happiness. It's kind of miraculous for me because I had so much sadness in my life and pain. And mm-hmm. and to feel his grace around me, it's literally, like they say, like being reborn, you know? I feel like there's yeah. a, it's like there's a big hug around me. And, you know, this mm-hmm. is after many years of spiritual practice, you know, all that. But something happened when, as I went through that mourning and that repenting and that releasing and more absorbing the blessing and kind of surrendering and opening to his presence, this precious kind of covering has come over me that I feel. I wake up now and I have my mind turns instantly towards God and towards the joy of mm-hmm. that, gratitude for that. I just wanted to send that out as a reassurance to anyone who has a hard time feeling happy, because I actually did for a long time. And I just feel such gratitude to Christ. He is so amazing in his ability to heal us. And when I say heal, I don't just mean physically. I mean really in the soul, like the ability mm-hmm. to change that deep sorrow into
Absolutely.
Happiness, like a genuine yeah. happiness, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Genuine. Absolutely. And he will make you whole again. And it would be the greatest joy and pleasure of my life to introduce as many people as possible to him in spirit, in body, in presence with you. He is here with you. He walks beside you, and most people never see him. And to actually introduce him to you is my greatest pleasure in life.
Well, you've done it, Glenda. I'm so grateful. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I prayed really hard for about 3 years, and I did regular meditations every Christmas praying that I would get to meet him. And I remember the last time, this was right before I met you, I prayed hard. I said, God, I need you to introduce me to him. And I need you to put me in a community where I feel safe and held. And the next day, a friend told me about you and about Love Without End.
Oh, that's
it's
wonderful.
So amazing. It really is. Yeah. And as soon as I read it, I felt the light come into me, into my heart. Like they say, you know, let Jesus into your heart. This was like, I didn't have a choice. I was reading the book and it went in to my heart and then I started coming. So I'm with you on that. And thank you for introducing us. And I also wanted to, just as a logistical thing, I've been considering the ministry, and I have been going to the website, and it looks like maybe it's getting redone, but I wanted to read again about the ministry training and see if that might still be available, and just to put it out there, I've been trying to go to the website, and it's not coming up, so.
Well, pardon me. Just a minute. We did redo the website. It is spiritus.org. Is
yeah,
that where you're going?
Yeah, that's where I've gone. It was up one day last week when I went, and then I went a couple times after that to go back and read on the ministry training, and it hasn't been coming up. So I don't know if there's something.
Well,
I just
I'm
thought
glad
you should know.
That. I will tell Tim. Because he needs
okay.
feedback. You know, he doesn't check every day. But no, the ministry course is still available. It will always
Great.
Be available. We had some enrollment, and they agreed with me that I could have as much time as I needed to reconstruct my presence in the world, shall we say. My soul
yeah.
is fine. My soul is fine, but my presence in the world got a little bit exploded, if you will. And putting back it's a little bit like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I can tell you, with Christ's help, it's possible. He's the only one I know that can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But he can do it. It just may require a little time. And I'm really there. I'm just really, I've got to straighten up my office this week, and I've got help coming, and Tim and I have been working out the kinks on the website. We have a brand new product that I'll announce next week. Oh, and by the way, people are loving the new Conversations with Jesus. I get emails every day from people who say,
yeah,
I can't believe it's so beautiful. And it really
is.
And it's affordable, very affordable. If you want to just buy one session at a time, just $6. And for $6, you could change your life. So we're doing everything we can to make everything we've got more beautiful, more accessible, and more affordable, because we've got to reach a lot of people. We never set out to make things expensive because we were raising money. It's just that when you have a small quantity to order of whatever, it's going to be virtually retail price. You don't get a good wholesale discount if you don't add numbers to it. And we never really had the working capital to get our products and our services down to where we were able to purchase and hire at wholesale cost. And then we could pass on a very affordable retail price. Yeshua is putting Humpty Dumpty back better than he was before. So let's put it that way. And one of our new products is a reborn product that has been the most requested since it had to go down about, I think it was about 4 years ago. That was Magdalene's blessing, the essential oil of spikenard that she bathed the Christ's feet with before, the evening of the supper, the evening of his arrest. She anointed his feet with this beautiful oil that Judas threw a tantrum over. Why have you used oil that is worth a whole man's year's earning to bathe his feet? And Yeshua looked at him and he said, Judas, you will always have the poor with you. You will not have me with you much longer. He just really put him in his place. But anyway, we're getting it back. The reason it went down is because it's on an endangered species list. It went on that. And when it did, the cost became about $100 an ounce. Well, I couldn't afford to stock it, A, and B, you couldn't afford to buy it retail. So we really didn't have a choice. And now, through recovered agriculture, and this gets back to blessing the people who grow our crops, because not all of our crops are for food. Some are for medicine. Some are for healing different issues that we have. Well, due to protected fields and highly conservative and constructive cultivation venues, we get spikenard back. Now, it's still very, very expensive. It's it's $600 for 16 ounces. But we're going to do it, and we're not raising the cost to you, because it needs to be out there. And we're figuring out how to do it without in any manner adulterating it. It will all be pure, and we're going to get it to you for the same price as Christ sent, and the same price as the Blessed Mother. So we feel that Trinity needs to be out there for you.
and the special gift of Magdalene to all of us was the gift that she gave him the night before. What spikenard does is that it dispels fear and anxiety, and it reduces pain, especially if pain is caused by mental or emotional distress. Isn't that what the world needs right now? And so yeah. I just said, okay, if we make no profit, our profit will be the blessing of doing it. But we're going to do this. We're going to bring it back. So next week it will be available. And so you'll get an email. Don't worry. You will get an announcement on this. And it will be on the front page of our store. And we've got another something coming along, but I'll save that for next week's announcement, okay? We are really putting all of our functionality back together at a better and a higher level than it's ever been before. So thank you all for your patience and your support emotionally and spiritually and through prayers for my recovery. And apparently I needed this much time because the injury was very deep. It was very, very, very deep because it cut right down the middle of all of my confidence and faith in what we had set forth to do in the world and to help others in the world. But I think you can tell from my voice, I'm a lot happier now with a lot more confidence. Okay. Well, Christopher, we're going to take Susan now, and then.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you. We love you, Christopher, and we're so glad you're here. Okay. Next question comes to Susan.
Hello, Susan. Hi, everybody. Hello. You sound beyond wonderful, and this is good. Grace, happiness, joy. The whole thing is wonderful. The only thing I would say with regard to it is I just had to go through I couldn't force myself to move through sadness. It had to take its course until joy opened up. And I knew it would. I just felt that I'm talking now about David's passing and, you know, feeling that hole and that, you know, it wasn't out of love. It was, I just wasn't used to, you know, being without him. I wasn't used to it. I wasn't used to living without him. And I needed to just go through what I needed. I knew that. And I knew eventually I would be okay. I'd be on my own two feet and okay. But I needed to just allow that. That's what I think about when I think about. Yeah,
yes,
I did. I definitely did. And that was with, you know, trust and faith and all of that. But I want to say, you know, I do stretching every morning religiously. And I knew I should start to do it at night, and I was resistant until last week when you made a point of saying, not only do I stretch in the morning, I stretch at night. I said, okay. This is something you absolutely have to do. You heard the message? Let's go. This is what I said. You heard it? Let's go. You know, so this call is really about thanking you for reinforcing something I was resistant to doing, and I am doing it. And I can't believe the difference it makes just to add that before I go to sleep. So, you know, blessings for that and for you with that. And I just want to, with regard to my son is going through a tough time with his marriage, and I just want to put him on a blessing list. His name is Matthew, and her name is Alyssa. So if we could do that. It's funny, I didn't even think about that until I was on the call, and I said, you better do that. And then a friend who's had some heart surgery, his name is Dennis, and I want to put him also on the list.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
You know, the
think of it.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. But really, it was like, oh, you got the message last week. Let's go. So I just think it's about, you know, thanking you.
Okay. Well, you know, I love the thank you responses, not because I need feedback or justification for what I do, but because it helps everyone to see that when you make a proactive decision and follow through, your life gets better. And it also helps them to see that miracles do happen. You know, miracles are not just a kid's dream. Like, oh, if I pray for it, I'll get a pony for Christmas. Huh, that's not what miracles are. Miracles actually are a parting of the waters of physical universe limitations. The waters part and the grace of God pours in. And Susan, I want to take that as an opening to the message I really was hoping to bring today, and we still got time for it. But before I switch to a lecture mode, I'd like to say I love you, and I'm so glad to hear about all your good work and benefits you're getting. And is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, it's just I was Tony popped in, and it occurred to me to say something he always said, which to me was, notice what you notice, Susan. And I wanted to put that out there, and that's it.
Oh, he would always say what?
Notice what you notice. That's what he said to me. He would say,
okay.
Notice what you notice. And we discussed that, what it meant and so forth. But that comes to me often. And for some reason on this call it did. So I just want to put that out from, that comes directly from Tony talking to me.
Oh,
and he probably still does.
Gosh,
notice what you notice.
Yeah.
That's
I love him so
time.
Much. And you know, I've got to call his wife and talk. We kept in touch
me
for a long
too.
Time after. Oh yeah, after Tony passed, we did, because between the two of us, we would he would start feeling left out and pop in with something. You know, it was our best way of calling Tony into communication.
Right,
so we stayed
right.
in touch for a long time. But Tony wrote a book that I would like to actually offer in our bookstore, just because he was a light of wisdom and he touched so many people in
Absolutely.
Our church. And I think people would love having it. So got to talk to her and see if she's in for the game. So
right.
maybe that'll be one of our new surprises. We're building, guys, we're building. We really are.
Mm.
We're doing anything but going down. We're going. We fell down so we could recreate it in a new way. It's kind of like what Yeshua said to the apostles before he was crucified. He said, they will destroy the temple, and I will build it back in 3 days. Well, the temple he was talking about was himself. He was, when he walked on the earth, he was the church. He was. And so they destroyed the temple, and in 3 days he built it back. Well, sometimes we have to tear down or allow old modalities to be torn down so that we can build them back right. And so I sometimes I really cling to that when I think things I love are being torn down. I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something better that's going to be built
right.
back in place.
Right.
Okay. Well,
I hear
Susan,
you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that message was not just for you. That was for all of us, because we're all in this together. So let's love one another, as he said. Let's be patient. Let's respect one another and create more happiness in the world. All right. Well, Susan, I'm gonna shift into a lecture mode, and then we will do our blessing. All right. The reason I wanted to do that is so that no one would be disappointed if they tried to come onto the Q&A board. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. One of the big complaints that everybody I know, and from all I read and hear about on public venue of one sort or another, is a shortage of energy. We're feeling losses of energy, whether it might be personal vitality, health vitality, desire to be creative, a sense of where do we go, a lack of motivation. And then we've got inflation, which is causing great lack of spendable financial energy. But wherever we go, it's energy. We're losing energy. So what's all this about? And where can it possibly result in something positive? I want to give you just a little brief background of the universe. Okay, it won't be overly complicated or overly scientific. I'll make it as simple as I can. Our universe is composed of essentially two great fields of potential. Two great fields of potential. One field actually is about 3% of the totality of the universe, and the other is about 97% of the total potentiality of the universe. So let's talk about the 3% first. The 3% is the physical universe, which is anything that can be measured or quantified by any mathematics of any kind, which could be weight, density, length, height, depth, years of existence, potentiality of energy contained within it, as Einstein's formula, E, which is energy, equals mc square. Okay, what is m and c? Well, mass is m, and c is light. So light can actually be quantified. It can be. It's not one of these unlimited, immeasurable entities. It actually can and is quantifiable. The universe began with the quantity of light available from which it was created. The whole physical universe was created from an original quantity of light that was set forth by God, the Creator. And that quantifiable measurement of light went forth and created patterns of, shall we say, performance or activity that resulted in mass, in space and distance, and then the masses conglomerated into greater and greater masses. They produced what Yeshua called adamantine particles, from which all masses were created. And all of these are measurable. And they're all composed of energy and light, okay? And the mass from which they're, well, which they accumulate, shall we say. Okay, I'm trying to make this very, very easy. Okay, so you could not, you know, use the old phrase, knock on wood. Well, that phrase comes from the fact that that wood has energy in it. And what you're basically asking is, does this wood have enough energy to bring me the good fortune I want? You know, is there enough energy here to bring me the good fortune I want? Well, in this quantifiable universe, there is only so much energy. It's not infinite. It's just that there's so much locked up that we think we can go drill a new hole or explode a couple of atoms and get all the liberated energy we need. But all we're doing is liberating energy. This quantifiable universe has an exact amount of energy within it. And this is why, even after you've had a good night's sleep, you've had a good breakfast, maybe a good lunch, you go out to run that 5 miles like Stormy was talking about. Okay. And you're gonna start running out of energy. Unless something very special happens. And I want to talk to you, that's what I want to talk to you about right now. Stormy described it as grace. And it is, but there's something else working there too. But before I can tell you what else is working there, I got to tell you about that 97%. The 97% is the quantum universe, which is a universe with unlimited quantity of everything. That is God's universe. That's the rest of it all. And that's where God went when he was finished creating the quantifiable universe. The quantifiable universe needed to be limited so that judgment could be applied, justice could be applied, balance could be applied, equal or worthy or earned rewards could be applied, and it could be measurable, which is why, folks, we do accounting. It's why we have budgets. You know, it's why we look at food for its most nutritious form, because we know that we can only digest so much food in a day, so let's get the best we can. That's what it means to use intelligence inside the quantifiable universe. How much energy do I need to run those 5 miles? All right? Now, that's not all the energy there is in existence. There's got 97% more in the quantum field. And that's what scientists are trying to explore. But one of the reasons they keep failing is because they're using quantifiable techniques, quantifiable measurement, and quantifiable tools to try to enter the unlimited universe. They haven't made that great transition over. Well, one of the elements of that transition is grace. The other, most important of all, is the will of God. God rules. He turned over the quantified universe to be his children's playpen. It's our playpen. And we don't always play fair. And we don't always play well. But we have lots and lots of good players and good brothers and sisters who are trying to make it truly work in an accommodating and fair and equal way for all. But it's still a limited field. Now, the universe of God, this is what we talk about in great depth in our Blessing Givers seminar, because blessings come from there. They don't come from here. And it takes a certain amount of knowledge and grace to open the gateway so that you can get the blessings from the quantum universe into the quantifiable universe. Okay? It takes some skill to open that gate and to get it in. That's what we do. We don't bless you. We open the gate where the Holy Spirit and Christ and God can bring all the greater blessings that are available to you from unlimited space and time that really is neither space nor time. It's every time and every space all simultaneously together. And the remark that Caroline made that I recounted just a little bit is that this is where empathy comes from, because this is where we can all be each other. And that's what heaven will be like. That's where we go. That's where we go when we have done our work in the quantifiable universe. But we got to get that in. Okay. Now, going back to energy, there's really only three types of free energy. That's it. And I think we're all looking for some free energy right now, aren't we? We'd sure like to have free energy to run our homes. We'd love to have free energy to have enough get up and go to get through our days. All right. We're going to get it from, we're going to get free energy from God. That's number one. And all things that are the will of God, which is why the first passage in the Lord's Prayer is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, the very first line of the Lord's Prayer is to create a bridge between these two universes, to bring the unlimited energy in, to give us the extra boost we need, whether it's to heal, rejoice, achieve, forgive, or to unify with our fellow man. We need something other than recycled old grudges, recycled laundry that's wearing out, shall we say. We need more. We need more from God. This is what prayer does. Prayer brings in that energy. So anything from God and the will of God, including prayer, including the blessings of God, that is free. Well, it's free. It truly, truly is free. And the way we contribute to that connection is by living in a state of grace. And that's a little bit difficult to describe from a human perspective. I think we can all see it from God's perspective because God is a, well, he loves us all. And he's not out to punish unless some real correction needs to happen. And it needs to happen now. And be assured he will take action. But if there's any way he can move us around a hardship, he will, and that's grace. If there's any way he can bring into our life that person we most need, either for a relationship or for information or partnering or healing or whatever, he'll move something around. And that is God's grace moving the water of the stream around the rocks in the stream. We're trying to push a rock, and he moves the water around the rock. That is grace. That is grace. And what we do, in my estimation, as humans, is we stop pushing on the rock, and we start looking for flows in life that can carry us around the rocks. That's how we do it. And I think that Christopher touched on that. Susan touched on that for sure. And, you know, everybody that's spoken today has actually mentioned grace. Carolyn talked about it. And Nancy, you know, because this is what we, this is so much what we want. All right. Now, the third way is actually a little bit of engineering exception. Now, what do I mean? Is she just talking funny here? An engineering exception. Isn't engineering always supposed to be predictable? Well, it is, but here is an engineering exception in our universe. It's the very thing that allows for what the space engineers call escape velocity. It's where, okay, they're propelling a rocket, and they have into space, and they've got to account for a certain amount of energy pushing, a certain amount of thrust pushing past the resistance of the atmosphere up to a certain point. And then all of a sudden that resistance falls away and the thrust exceeds the resistance. And that's called escape velocity, and the rocket is in free space at that point.
This is what runners call the second wind. You get, you're running and you're drawing upon energy from your muscles, your breath, your heart, and the rhythm of your body and all the various mechanics you've developed for running so that you can focus the entire coordination of your body on a single purpose. You're all in focus and your purpose is getting up that hill or getting down the stretch of that, you know, that mile. You're going to get down there and that's where all of your attention is. Well, what you're actually doing in, at first, you feel the effort. You feel the thrust. You know, this is why runners dig holes with their toes in the, you know, in the field, you know, on the field they're going to run on, and they'll dig their toes in so they've got something to push off of. You know, they'll have, and they have cleats on their shoes so they can grab the track they're running on. So they use the cleats for grabbing, for pushing, and digging in for pushing off. That's all effort, my friends. I mean, it may not seem like effort to a trained athlete. It may just seem like the grace of effective motion. But there is effort in it. There's thrust in it. And it takes coordination of energy to move forward. But after a certain way down the course, down the running mile, of the track, whatever you're going on, it starts to break free. Your run is greater than the resistance. Well, what happened? What is that? What is that exception to engineering in a universe that's not supposed to have any exception whatsoever to engineering? It's patterning and faith in the pattern you've chosen to move through. Okay, let me give you an example in your work so you can relate this, and then we'll come back to the runner and we'll come back to the rocket, okay? Because they all contain an incredible secret for managing your life. Have you ever noticed when your days are chaotic, you get tired quicker? And you probably never completely get through the day. At least you don't get all the goals accomplished. Okay, we've all noticed that, I'm sure. Have you ever noticed those days of extreme coordination where you start out knowing exactly what you're going to do? You've got a pattern. You delegate to others what they need to be doing, and they cohere with the pattern. And you're just repeating the pattern and repeating the pattern and over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, you look at your watch and you're an hour ahead of time on finishing your project. How in the world did that happen? Okay. Our energy was created by God. Our universe was created by God. And our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of order, my friends. When you order, by order, I don't mean give orders, I'm talking about organize. You order your environment. You coordinate your actions and you have them flow perfectly, in form, in sequence. You will naturally accelerate. And as you naturally accelerate, you will exceed the resistance. And you will reach a place that actually has free energy. It actually has free energy. And this is what accounts for the extreme performance of people who've dedicated their lives to a particular endeavor, whether it's science, teaching, parenting. You notice some people are just better parents than others. And it's not really because they love their kids more. A lot of parents actually make a mistake of allowing chaos in the home because they think they're empowering their kids to have their own way. But those kids don't make the grades. And in the end, those kids aren't happy. And they don't graduate with very high marks. And they don't know what to do with their lives. The parents who know how to organize the family, to get it moving in a straight line and loving what they're doing with the siblings coordinating and helping each other and making their target together and getting ready for vacation. Everybody's making it happen. And all the luggage fits in the car and they leave an hour ahead of time. Those are the people who go out there and have the best vacations. They do. They just do. And when you get there, you feel like you really are on vacation because you're on vacation from stress and force and effort. And you're actually enjoying the benevolence of God's order. And this is the way you create grace from your side of the equation. You put your life in order. When you put your life in order, you will arrive at a point of grace. And you will break through the barriers attempting to resist you. So let's go over this again. The three sources of free energy. One is God and anything from God. God's will, God's assistance, God's grace, okay? And the other is anything you can receive from the quantum field. Let go of your obsession with time and space. Like, I'm running out of time. I'm getting old and I haven't even begun to do what I wanted to do. I don't remember how old Grandma Moses was, but she was very old. I mean, I think she was 80, 81, something like that. And she became one of the more famous artists in America. She was shown at the Metropolitan Museum. I think she was about 10 years after she discovered what she wanted to do with her life, and she did it. You know, when it comes to what was placed in you by God, there is no time and space. There is no time. You're never too old. And you're never too poor. Some of the most accomplished people in this world today were sleeping on a park bench when they discovered what they were supposed to do. They let go of all the things they were not supposed to do, even though it might have meant losing everything. They did it. And they found from inside the core of their being what they were supposed to do. So, and then order, bringing order to your life. And last of all, I want to add to that, and that is your free choice of happiness in anything. And can you imagine how much happiness could be the key to each and every one of these exceptions I have pointed out to you? Great way to get your energy, your sense of purpose and goals, to make connection with people you've been just yearning to be with, to attract the grace of God, and yourself create grace in this world through the order and the happiness you introduce into it. That's a great gift that you give. And believe me, people, you will attract people. You will be out among people you don't know, and they'll find some way to say good morning to you or how's your day going just because they want to talk to you. That's it. They're not trying to hit on you for anything. No, they're not trying to cross your boundaries. They just kind of want to
I think you're a pretty cool kind of person. And I just kind of walk down the same aisle he's walking on, see what happens. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to tell you about. And actually, every one of you touched on it today. We are at 4:15, so I'm not going to open our board because it took a little longer than I had hoped to get through this, but I don't very often bring a lecture to you. It's just I've been wondering and praying and coordinating my thoughts to how we can rise above all this junk in the world. And let's just call it junk, because pretty soon we're going to be so far above it, we're going to look down and say, boy, was that a pile of junk. And hopefully we're going to bring a whole lot of people up out of the junkyard. You know, we're going to do some junkyard retrieval when we get up at a place high enough to do that. But let's do some of that work right now with a blessing, okay? And as always, I want to remind you to stretch, because even relaxing in a chair, letting go of cares of the world and just listening and attracting Christ into your presence, your body's still wilting in upon itself, and you need to stretch it out. You need to get that energy moving, okay? You know, when you give your body a chance to slow down, it'll say, well, okay, good, but why waste energy on slowing down? I'll just puddle. You know, I'll just be a little, you know, I'll just wilt in my chair and puddle a little bit. So let's just get ourselves, if you can stand up with me, okay? And, there was a call trying to come through. Sorry about that noise, people. Anyway, just stretch your legs, extend them. And see, even though you are relaxing, you get up on your legs and you're stiff because you just puddled a little bit. You just kind of fell into yourself. Well, there's something about being active that is healing also. So, because you get blood moving through your body, and that brings oxygen through your body. It brings nutrients through your body. So, let's be a little active before we turn passive again. Okay, that's all we want to do. We just want to move your spine around from left to right, gently. Don't make yourself dizzy. Lift your head up so that you can feel your neck go back over your shoulders, and then move your head down, not so fast that you get dizzy, just gentle, whatever feels comfortable to you. This isn't about showing off how far you can stretch. You know, we're not doing yoga here. We're just doing life here, and we're understanding the basic things that our body needs to be active, happy, and healthy. So now extend your arms and then wave them like little windmills around so that you get that rotator cuff moving, and it'll bring a fresh new supply of blood into your arm and your hands. Okay, left and then right. All right. Okay. And then if you can bend over just a little bit, not anything that's going to stretch your back or lose your balance, but just a little bit so that you move your hip flexors. Okay. If you can't do that, but you got to sit, then bring your knees, bring one knee up and clutch it, and then the other knee up and clutch it. That'll do basically the same thing. And it's just good for you. It's a good thing to do. And now you're flowing. Okay, so now let's put it this way. The water in your stream is moving around the rocks, and that's what we want, because the blessing will come to you as a form of divine energy coming from the place where God lives, where the Holy Spirit begins, where Christ is perfectly connected as the bridge between both states of the universe, connects in your heart with love. So let's activate the last body system we need, and that's breathing. I want you to take a very deep, deep breath, stretching your diaphragm as far as you can go, and then you release it. And bend over a little bit if you can when you release it, okay? Then you take another deep, deep breath and stretch your diaphragm and lean back just a little bit because that helps expand your diaphragm, okay? And then release it and lean forward just a little bit as you let it out. Okay. And now let's do our four square breath, which is just a normal, ordinary breath, except you're going to be mindful of it. This helps you to be mindful of your energy of life. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to give into life. You give into it so that you receive from it. Just count to four and exhale. Then pause as you count to four to let it be received. Then take a fresh new breath for yourself to the count of four. Bring it into your body to bless and nurture and energize yourself. And hold it to a count of four so that you can be grateful, honor it, and allow it to be received by your body. And now you just continue this as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Son of God, Lord of life, and sacred brother to us all. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for all of your gifts of life. We thank you for giving us the formulas of life that can free us from the bondage that we find ourselves in so many times in this very restricted material universe. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you for our healing. And we thank you for giving us a new future which is worth living. We ask your forgiveness that at times we didn't even seek you. We didn't even seek your blessing. And didn't even know you were there. And in those times, perhaps, we weren't the best brother or sister to those others in our lives. We ask your forgiveness that we may become the bright light that you set us up to be. And we ask that as you bless us, you bless all of those for whom we prayed. And you bless others in their life. And continue the blessing until it reaches around the world, until the children are loved and fed, until we are given peace and right opportunities for living, until we have abundance that we share, and until we are brought to a perfect closure of our life in this material universe and welcomed into the holy eternal space of our Father. We now ask all of these things in your holy name. Amen. Blessing giver, will you join me? Let us offer the blessing.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Be blessed. Now I want you to stretch out, lay down on your bed or a long sofa where you can fit your whole body and just lay down. Okay. Don't think anymore. Don't pray with words anymore. Just be a blank slate upon which the grace of God can flow and leave its mark and leave its blessings that will unfold for you when the timing is right. Bye-bye for now. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to having you back again next week. As always, I'll be here for you.